taught me to drive and to fight and to dream. When he looks in my eyes, I hope he can see.
So before I go on to my message, I just thought it would be good to honor all the dads in the house. So all the dads in the house, please stand this morning, because you and I won't be here if not for the dads, correct? So we are thankful this morning for all the dads in the house today. I'm just going to pray over you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for dads. God, I thank you for these men who have fathered children. I thank you, God. Lord, that irrespective of what's going on in our lives, Father, in their lives, God, I know that you had a plan for them. You have a perfect plan, a perfect journey, Lord, for them. Thank you, Father. I pray, oh God, in Jesus' name, that as you journey in the coming months and the coming years, and as you continue to provide that father nature to your children, that God will bless you even more. And not only to your children, but those around you, those who are seeking fathers, those who are seeking to have father nature, looking for fathers. There are kids today who are looking for fathers. God, I pray that you'll use these men to be amazing fathers in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So I'm going to ask Abriel to come up here because she has a dad. She's the most sweetest girl. See how pretty she is. And she's going to just say a little bit about her dad this morning. Is that good? Here we are.
Today, because it is Father's Day, I have made an acrostic description about my dad using the word father. F is for funny. A is for awesome. T is for terrific. H is for handsome. E is for energetic, and R is for resilient. Hopefully, all you other dads have the same amazing characteristics as the things I've said in this description. On behalf of all the dads, keep being the amazing people you guys already are.
Wow. That was amazing. I think you should be preaching, isn't it? Yeah, she's ready for that. Isn't that amazing? Wonderful. Wow, I was so blessed. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Aren't children amazing? So precious. Hallelujah. Right, we have one more actually. We have Chloe. Sean and Shane have also contributed to this. So let's hear something from Chloe.
So Dad told me to keep it short, but there's three of us in one, so it might be a bit longer. So these are just like some memories of our childhood and with our dad. So my first one was my 13th birthday. Dad bought me yellow roses, and he said he was going to take me out for dinner. He opened the door for me. He pulled out my chair for me. He sat and we chatted and had dinner. And while we were talking, he said that any boy that wanted to take me out had to treat me this way. Also, whenever I come home late by train, even if I tell him not to, he will always come and pick me up from Mossel Park Station, which, if any of you know where we live, is just down the road. So it's like a 2-minute drive, but he still does it. It might be midnight, it could be 1 a.m, he'll still do it. When I was really small, in our old house, it started hailing, and Dad decided he wanted to see what it felt like. So he ran upstairs, he put on his swimming trunks, and then he ran back downstairs into our garden. And he stood outside going, ah, ow, ow. And I remember saying I wanted to keep some, so he caught a few for me and gave them to me, and I put them in the freezer. I'm assuming they're not there anymore, or they're just part of the freezer now. The boys said that one time we went to Alton Towers, it was Unji, Mum, and me were standing out downstairs. We weren't really fond of roller coasters. But the boys went on this roller coaster 5 times, and Dad followed behind them and went on with them every single time. And as they got off, they would run back to the beginning, and Dad would like casually pace behind them, but still go. When we were really small, Dad used to sit down, and he'd be wearing a sarong. And he'd sit with his legs like crossed, like this. And it would make almost like a bucket. And we'd take turns of sitting in it, and he'd swing us in his sarong. And the boys said, one time Dad came into their room, just really randomly, out of nowhere, and taught them how to do push-ups. And they say, thus, the fitness pursuit was born, and they ended up becoming pretty strong in their school. He also told them not to quit rugby, and to give it at least another month. And they did, and it ended up being one of the best things they've ever done. When we were really small, we'd get up really early and we'd run into Mum and Dad's room. And Dad would be either sleeping or sort of awake, but just lying there. It was normally a Saturday. And we'd sit on his back, the three of us in a row. And it was like a game. And we'd sit there and wait like this. And he would tip us off either one way or the other. And we'd have to like guess and try and hold on. And so it usually was like Mum would just be lying there like, what is going on? And we'd be giggling in fits because we'd be like, ah! But it was always really fun. Our dad can swim into any body of water less than, like, lower than 15 degrees. Always. Glacial lake, it doesn't matter. He just charges in. And Sean says the lesson is your dad is always tougher than you. The boys remember that one time they were really stressed out, and Dad just got out his guitar and started praising with them. And Sean said he remembers that he didn't really see why at the time, like, why it would help. But then he said it taught him that the power of praise taught him of the power of praise and to set his eyes above to the things above. The boys said that when they went off to uni, Dad gave them £150 for a month to live on and said, let's just see how you get on. Our dad has insane nerves of steel when it comes to performing. You've seen him sing, you've seen him play. Sometimes it's literally on the day of. We're like, Dad, sing. And he'll happily get up and sing. He has nerves of steel. And the boys remember once when we were in Sri Lanka, Dad, they were really excited because Dad gave them 200 rupees each. And they were like, yes, money. But then they found out that Dad failed to mention that 200 rupees is actually less than a pound. So it didn't go very far. And anyone who knows the Haywards, Adrian and Helen Hayward, we once went to Costco with them. And it's always been hilarious to Adrian because Dad, he describes Dad as a foghorn. Because we'd be like, Dad, can we? He'd be like, no. And it was just like this drone across the thing. Dad, no. So that's another one. I've got a few more. I've only got a few more. Okay, I promise. Where is it? Da-da-da. So he always used to bring the family together to pray. And he'd take risks on us, giving us instruments and telling us to play at church and encouraging us and asking us to do items at Christmas. And one time he took us on a drive, and I think it was just a really random day, and he took us on a drive, and he turned to us and he goes, you guys know that I love you, right? And we were like, of course. And he goes, I just don't think I tell you enough that I love you, so I love you guys. And we were like, oh, Dad, we know that. And it was all just like very emotional. Like, Dad was very like deep. And me and the boys were sitting there like, this is really random. It's like a Friday. And Dad's like telling us. And then Sean's final one is, Dad once told Sean that when he was young, that if he put shower gel on his head, his hair would fall out. And then never corrected that myth, if it is a myth, he says. He says, but he hasn't used shower gel on his head since. He only uses shampoo. And he said, the lesson is, don't lie to your kids. They won't question it.
Thank you. Oh, it's good to be a dad, hey? Praise God for kids. So this morning, have I missed anything? No, I haven't. Good. I just want to also mention that, and I mentioned earlier to the setup team, that if anyone here wants to be baptized, I know we have some new people who have come. People have given their hearts to the Lord, and if you want water baptism, you want to be baptized as a believer in water, then please do come and talk to either myself or Jenny, and let us know, because we would love to arrange a baptismal service soon and baptize you. So it's open to anyone who knows Jesus. Baptism doesn't mean you become a Christian. You are baptized after you are a Christian. So you got to accept Jesus Christ first as your Lord and Savior, and then we baptize you according to the Word of God in obedience to God, to Christ. Even he got baptized by John the Baptist. Remember that? Jesus got baptized. And so it's a good example to follow when you know Jesus. So please do come and let us know. and we will have one or two classes with you. So we teach you what baptism is all about, and then we will arrange a day, and we will baptize you. And it's an amazing, awesome celebration. Those of you who have been at baptism service, isn't that right? It's an awesome celebration. So I don't want anyone to miss out on that. Good. That's out of the way. So this morning, it's my great pleasure on Father's Day, once again, to greet all the fathers, to thank all the fathers, and to share a word specifically for dads. So moms, you don't have to turn off now. It includes everybody. You'll get something from today as well. And so I've used a movie to actually bring some illustrations, some points to what I'm going to say. Is that good? How many like movies? Good, okay. Sometimes it's good to use a movie. So today we are celebrating all dads. Why? Because dads play a vital role in the life of a family, correct? In the life of a child, like we heard before. And we live in a society where there are many families with absent fathers, and that's very sad. But that's how the world is going today, and that's so, so very sad. And many kids today, we know, are growing up not knowing the love of a dad, the love of a father, and not having the role model of a father. And in some cases, bad role models too, which is sad. And so so today, I just want to bring to you the good things of a father and compare that to our Heavenly Father, who is the best dad that you can ever have. And society today downplays the role of a father, correct? The role of a mother is more prominent than that of a father. And we know that there's a key role that fathers play. Even though they may not say much or do much, just a father being in the home brings stability to a child, correct? Wave at me if you agree with me. And today we have much younger men who are fathering kids. And they don't have any teaching or any support to actually do that. For you parents, if you are looking to get something of how to be good dads, good parents, then, as you know, Jenny and I were involved with the Two Equal One ministry, and we do a course called Parents for Life. Parents for Life. We have done that ourselves, and it's an amazing course, and we are happy to teach it. So as parents, if you say, look, I'd really love to do that course to know God's perspective on us parenting our children, it's not too late. Even if you're a bit older, it doesn't really matter because you can support and help other kids as well. So that is on offer for anyone who wants to do that course, Parents for Life, right? Now, so I just want to start off with a video clip. It's from the film called Parenthood. How many have seen Parenthood with Steve Martin? Okay, he's quite a funny chap. And with this clip, I want to share a quick word with you. There's an introduction that I would like to place. It gives you a gist of what the film is all about. It's not the whole film. You'll be glad to say that we'll be here for 2 hours. But it's just a few clips of that film. Let's play the introduction first.
There's still one last frontier. One place where an ordinary man can be a hero.
Howdy, partner.
That's great!
A job that takes skill, patience, and guts.
Your lower intestine.
A job full of wonderful surprises.
You feel like you want to throw up?
Okay.
Parenthood.
Yo, why are you just standing there?
Oh, sweet.
Waiting for her head to spin around.
From generation to generation.
When I was born, Robert Cleveland was president.
It's a voyage of discovery.
I assume that you're watching these because you're curious about sex, you know, or filmmaking.
What do we say when we see a cute 8-year-old girl walk by?
Hubba hubba.
A quest for knowledge.
If you want to have just an ordinary academic career, that's your prerogative.
He likes to butt things with his head.
How proud you must be.
Yeah.
It can drive you crazy.
I love it.
You talk to me about school and meetings. Now talk to me about shopping.
It can drive you wild.
Please, Mrs. Buckman, I love her.
Let her go, damn it!
You can't run out on me. You're my wife.
You're his what?
We got married a couple of days ago.
Are you out of your mind?
But it's the greatest adventure of them all.
How many little girls does Daddy have?
One.
But one like you is all he needs.
Good night, Daddy.
Good night, Bob. Bob, is it Bob?
Steve Martin.
Oh, wonderful. It gets funnier and funnier. So this is the Buckman family, and they have four kids, and they're facing all sorts of issues and challenges, like most families, correct? We all face issues and challenges. Anyone without them, I'd like to talk to you. We all face these challenges when we are raising our kids, correct? And Gil Buckman, who is Steve Martin, Steve Martin is playing that role. He's a sales executive. He's trying to balance his family life and his career. How many of us do that as well? We try to balance our family life. We try to balance our career as well. And Gil is so frustrated and fearful that the financial burdens of family, his office, politics as well, at work, are turning him into a detached workaholic. How many of us get into that as well, where we work, and we have hardly any time for the family? And so it's just an ordinary family going through life and facing all these frustrations. So the first scene you will see in this clip, that Gil, the father of this amazing family, he goes back to his childhood dream whilst he's sitting in a baseball stadium. He loves baseball. He goes back to his childhood while sitting there, and he thinks about how he was treated by his father. His father was kicked out when he was 15 years old. His father was kicked out of the family. And often as a child, he felt alone. And so he remembers how his dad had no time for him. And on this occasion, you will see in this clip that his dad brings him. He leaves him on one of the chairs up on the stadium, and asks one of the attendants to look after him. And he goes off to meet his friends. So you'll see that as well. So he remembers that his dad had no time, and even now, on this occasion, leaves him with an attendant, and he pays the attendant to look after his child. And so this often happens on his birthday. And he remembers all these things. How many of your kids remember everything that goes on? He remembers his father raising them up as if they were a burden, you know, as if they were in a prison all the time, rather than giving them the freedom to play and to have fun. And in this clip also, you will see that Gil, the father, was a father who often just dumped his kids for someone else to look after. But Gil makes up his mind and he says, I want strong, if ever I have children, I want strong, happy, confident kids. And I think this is every father's wish, correct? I don't think there's any father on this earth who does not want strong, happy, confident kids. And we may have had similar experiences of not being wanted or being a burden, and often felt that we were not important. But today, I want you to know that even though you may have had a rough past, a bad past, and you don't have to take that bad past into your future. You don't have to do that. Why? Because we have an amazing, amazing Father, and His name is Jesus. He loves us unconditionally. And He has said in His word in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, I will never, never fail you nor forsake you. Never, never fail, nor forsake or leave you, abandon you. That's the promise of our Father. That's the promise of Jesus. Why? Because he loved us so much. He was willing, according to Philippians 2 and verse 6, he was willing to leave all his kingly glory, his kingly authority, his kingly attributes, and become a slave, taking on human form, our form, being born as a man and dying a cruel death on the cross. Why? Because he loved us so much. Recently, a lady who came to one of our prayer meetings asked, why did Jesus have to die? Couldn't the Father do something about it? And then we had to explain to her and say, Jesus came for that purpose. And the Father, it was hard for him to have to sacrifice his own son, but he did it for you and for me. And today we have the freedom because of what Jesus did. Today we have victory over sin and death because of what Jesus did. While we were still messing around in our sinful state, being disobedient to God and his word, Jesus died on the cross for us. Isn't that amazing? He didn't wait for us to be good. He died in spite of our situation. Praise God for that. Let's watch this scene.
Peanuts! Peanuts! Get your peanuts here!
Well, like I said, I had to stop and do some business. Here, sit down. Hey, you usher, come here. Can I talk to you a second?
Yes, sir.
You watching?
Oh, sure, no problem.
Come on.
Yeah, you're right, you're right.
Gil, this is Stan. He's going to watch you for a while. I have some friends I'm meeting. I'll meet you right here, huh? By the ninth inning. Have fun, kid.
Programs here. Get your program. Programs here. Get your program.
So, Gilly, big baseball fan?
Kinda.
Yeah? Dad bring you here a lot?
Once a year on my birthday, then he pays an usher to watch me.
Oh, I see.
But you have to understand, my father, in his own childhood, was without a positive male influence.
Huh?
His own father kicked him out when he was 15. So my dad was taught to see child raising as a job, a burden, a prison, rather than a playground. Do you understand what I'm saying?
You don't talk like a kid.
Yeah, well, I'm not really a kid.
You're not a duck.
This is a memory of when I was a kid. I'm 35 now. I have kids of my own. You don't really even exist. You're an amalgam.
A what?
A combination of several ushers my dad left me with over the years. I've combined them into one memory.
Why?
This was a great symbolic moment in my life. My father dumping me with you. It's why I swore things would be different with my kids. That's my dream. Strong, happy, confident kids.
That's great. That's great. You know, you got a lovely family, and I'm an amalgam.
Gil?
Who's that?
That's my wife.
Nice.
Gil?
Yeah?
The game's over, honey.
The St. Louis Cardinals wish to thank you for attending today's game. Please drive home safely and soberly.
Let's go.
And so in the next scene, you will see that I think every dad wants their child to be educated, correct? Every dad wants their child to be successful. But not all kids are the same. Have you noticed that? Not all, even in our family, we have three children. They're all not the same. Even the twins, they're not the same. They're different in their expressions. And there's a friend who comes to visit, and his name is Nathan. You know, he's the guy in the introduction. He said he wants his, you know, he used a particular word. I've forgotten now what it was. But it's all about education. His motivation was, you get educated, that's it. And so his friend Nathan, he comes with a statement saying, kids are like sponges. They absorb every detail of information. And he wanted his daughter to absorb every detail of information and education. But for Gil, his kids were different. And it did not sink with Gil, because his kids were very different. And I think we are all so different, aren't we? None of us are the same. We all have different things that we do. And it doesn't mean that it just because I don't have the skill or the ability of somebody else, it doesn't devalue me. Can you get that? It doesn't devalue you just because you don't have the skill set of somebody else. Why? Because we are all different. The amazing thing about our Heavenly Father is that He treats us differently because He knows us so well. And He has a plan for each of our lives. And that plan that He has, the plan He has for you is very different to the plan He has for me. It's tailor-made for you. It just fits you. It suits you. Your plan can never be played out by me. I could never act it out. I can pretend to, but it'll never work. God has a unique plan for your life. And He's going to play it out in your life the way He wants to play it out in you. We are wired differently, aren't we? We have different ways that we do things. I might have one particular way of doing things, but you might have a different way of doing things. We are wired differently. We have differing gifts and talents and abilities, and which is God-given. And that's why you and I are unique. Tell your neighbor, you are unique, because you have unique gifts, unique abilities, and unique talents. Amen? Just imagine if you were all the same. How boring would that be? We won't be rubbing off each other then. Oh, it'd be a bit boring, isn't it? Getting on hunky-dory, everybody's happy, you know. God embraces, you know, we talk a lot about diversity today. You know, God embraces diversity. He loves every one of us individually. He loves us the way we are. And so we can come to our Father, no matter what we've done or what our origin has been, or no matter if we have education or no education, God still loves us and has a plan for our lives. Let's watch this next clip.
The Penal Colony by Franz Kafka.
Hey, Nathan. Patty a doctor yet?
Mark, if you will. All right. Our children are more capable of retaining and absorbing information than we are, and yet we insist on treating them like adorable little morons.
What are you saying? Patty can learn things I can't learn?
Patty, which one of these is the square root of 8,649?
They're like sponges, Gil, just waiting to absorb.
I want this.
You see? Take my advice. Forget about Kevin and Taylor. It's too late. Work on Justin.
Actually, Justin is quite bright in his preschool class. He was the only... Slow down, Justin. I'll get you some dip.
One of his kids, and his name is Kevin, he's not doing very well at school. And so what happens when kids don't do well at school? Who calls the parents? Principal or the headmaster, the head teacher calls the parents into her office and discusses the child's behavior. And this child's behavior is very questionable. And so because of the behavior, this child is seen by the school psychologist. And the psychologist suggests that this child attends another school where they can cater to the behavior needs of this child. And you can see in this clip that the moment that is suggested, Gil, the father, stands up for his son and refuses to let Kevin, his son, go to a school with special needs. He refuses to do that. And I think our Heavenly Father is like this. No matter how far we fall, no matter how far we have messed up in life, God our Father never seeks to punish or banish us, but always comes around us. He puts his arms around us and protects us from the challenges of life and from the accusations that people throw at us. Correct? And we have one enemy who is the accuser of every believer. You know what his name is? Satan. Where do we read that? Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 says this in the New Living Translation. Then I heard a voice shouting across the heavens, "It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ." These are the times that are coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These times are going to come. In God's timing, it will be here. And it says there, "For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to the earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night." Jesus took upon himself our accusation. The enemy wanted to accuse us, wanted to put blame on our lives, wanted to condemn us. But Jesus came on the scene and he took our accusations. He took our condemnation. He took our sin. He took our shame. And he acquitted us and made us free from all of that. Isn't our God amazing? That's an amazing thing that Jesus did. He never, ever condemns us. Let's watch this scene.
Gil, Karen, I think we're going to have to be very careful about Kevin's educational environment.
Absolutely.
With that in mind, I don't think Kevin should come back here next fall. I'm going to recommend that he be transferred to a school that offers special education classes.
You mean because he's so smart?
Well, actually, I mean a class for children with emotional problems.
Hi. I'm sorry I'm late. You must be the Buckmans. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Lucas.
Dr. Lucas is a child psychologist. He's been observing Kevin for the last couple of months.
Why?
Mr. Buckman, this is a public school. 38 kids to a class. We estimate that Kevin's teacher spent at least 20% of her time dealing with Kevin. That class is going to finish the year behind. It isn't fair.
Kevin is a very sweet, very sensitive, extremely tense little boy. He needs some special attention.
It's because he was first.
Hmm?
It's because he was our first. I mean, I think we were very tense when Kevin was little. If he got a scratch, we were hysterical. But the third kid, you know, you let him juggle knives.
On the other hand, Kevin may have been like this in the womb. Recent studies indicate that these things are all chemical.
She smoked grass.
Gil! I never smoked when I was pregnant.
Yeah, but in college you were like a chimney. I thought you were going to join a reggae band.
Ago.
I'm just saying there could have been some chromosome distortion.
Well, You let them do anything. You let them watch TV. Just like
so we'll
that.
Throw the TVs out. We'll put the TVs right in the garbage then, and you and I'll or we'll perform more some Shakespeare or some.
I'm sorry.
I'm just a little thrown off by this. Gil, Karen. You should not look upon the fact that Kevin will be going to a special school as any kind of failure on your part.
No, I'll blame the dog.
In an educational environment that's more sensitive to his needs.
All right, look, first of all, Kevin is not going to a special school. Whether it's right or not, there's a stigma. People are cruel, especially children, and I won't subject Kevin to that kind of cruelty. If we have to, we'll send him to a private school. I don't care what it costs. I'll get a second job.
Mr. and Mrs. Buckman, this is a problem that won't just go away.
Well, if we need to, we'll send Kevin to a private therapist.
That's right. Look, it's a problem. We're aware of it. But we're his parents. We can handle it.
Is that good? I think, you know, God, irrespective of what it cost him, send Jesus just for us. Isn't that amazing? You know, when I saw that, I thought, wow, thank you, God, that you sent Jesus. It cost Jesus everything. But like those parents, they were willing to go for private tuition, do whatever it takes to help their child. And that's how our God is. He will do whatever it takes to help us, to be with us, to protect us and to keep us. So the next scene that you see is, I think this is the penultimate scene. This is every expectation of a dad, and that is to see their son or their daughter, in this case it's the son, do really well and qualify and finish their degree. And you will see, that in this clip you will see the son recognizing his father. And I just think behind every successful child, there is so much that has gone in and put into that child. And I think there are those times when dads, as well as moms, but dads particularly today, where they went through hard times, testing times, those times where they sacrificed their time, they sacrificed going out somewhere, doing something that they wanted to do just for the sake of their children. There were times when there were tears of joy that they celebrated every bit of their journey with their child growing up. And every minute of that was worth it. Every minute of that was worth it just to see a smile on their child's face. And you will see in this clip how much they enjoy the accomplishments of his son who has now graduated. I think God our Father is always cheering us on. He's always fighting for us. He's always saying, well done. He's always saying, you can make it. He's always encouraging us on our journey. He will never bring discouragement on our lives. That's not God's job. He never does it. We sang this morning, we have a good, good Father. It's who He is. He cannot help being good to His children. God sent His Son for one purpose, and that's for us, to die on the cross, taking our sin, our punishment, that we can win over the power of sin and death. Hallelujah. We are winners. Tell your neighbor, you are a winner. You are a winner because of Jesus. Through Jesus, we have won the victory. Let's watch this clip.
All right. We're going to need a new second baseman now. Which one of you outfielders wants to try second base? Huh? Huh? How about you, Kevin? You want to try second base?
Okay.
All right.
Oh,
Matt, come on, none of that. We're a team. Let's be a team. Now, come on, get out there and hustle. Let's go. Yeah! Huh?
All right! Yeah!
Hey, Kevin. Remember, the word is fun. So just go on out there, and what you catch, and what you miss, okay?
Okay, Dad.
Way to go, Kevin!
And now it is my great pleasure to introduce our valedictorian, Kevin Buckman.
Thank you. You know, when I was 9 years old, I had kind of a rough time. A lot of people thought I was pretty mixed up. But there was one person who got me through it. He did everything right. And thanks to him, today, well, I'm the happiest, most confident, and most well-adjusted person in this world. Dad, I love you. You're the greatest.
God has big dreams for us. God sees us not where we are now. He sees us where He's got us, where He wants us to be. And so let's not focus on who we are now. Let's focus on who God sees us and what He wants us to be. Many of us are carrying dreams in our lives. Let's not put the dreams aside. Let's begin to dream big. Because God dreams big on our behalf. He has big dreams for you. Never give up on God's dream for your life. That dad, he never gave up. He encouraged his son, and he dreamt the day that he would see his son on the podium, getting the reward for what he had done. That's who our God is. Is that amazing? Never give up on destiny. Never give up. God never gives up on you, and He will never give up on you. So the last scene is this. It's called the roller coaster ride. See, life is never static, is it? It's never plain sailing. Anyone had that? It's plain sailing life, you know. Life is like a roller coaster, correct? There are ups and downs, twists and turns, and somehow we navigate all these challenges and changes that life throws at us. Some could have been good roller coasters, and some others not so good or bad ones that we have faced. Nevertheless, I think we can pat ourselves on the back and say, we have faced our challenges and we have come through because we are sitting here right now. And we are not given up, but we are here. And that's good, isn't it? We have faced the challenges. We have come through life. And as dads, I know we have faced many challenges with our kids growing up. How many know it's never easy peasy lemon squeezy with kids, correct? I'd like to see a dad who's had that as well. It's never easy with kids. However, in every stage of their growth, there have been various challenges that have come our way, and we have stood up to those challenges. We have met those challenges. So dads, you can pat yourself, or if you have a neighbor next to you, pat them on the back and say, well done, you stood up to your challenges. No one to pat Alf there at the back, you know. Maybe someone can give him a pat on that side. Yeah, Kareem, come on, that's good. And I think our journey with Jesus is a bit like a roller coaster too. How many know journey with Jesus is never like that? Our journey in life, our journey with Jesus, there are some days that are better, correct? Better than others, correct? I think if we say every day is like this, every day we are on the up, I'd like to meet that person too. Because I know life throws its challenges. Every day we face something. But we know that with Jesus, we are able to face our challenges in life. And something that we get to understand is that God does not deliberately throw challenges in our path. He will never put things in our way. He will never, put things that will try to discourage us. The heart of God is always to encourage. So we might go through a situation. Why? Because God wants us to come through it. God wants us to mature through it. He wants us to face that situation because He's taking us on a journey to something bigger and something better. And so I think our journey, with Jesus is an exciting journey. And God has never promised, a bed of roses for Christians. In fact, it gets hard because the road, as I always say, is narrow. The road is narrow. The challenges are more on a narrow road, correct? On a broader road, you can, run off to a side. But on a narrow road, you don't have much maneuverability. Is that correct? Is there a word like that? I think so. I hope so. Other than I made a word. And we know, if you read Psalm 23, we read there that even when we go through hard and tough times, and sometimes dangerous times, it says there that the Lord is with us. Amen? The Lord is with us. And so He's promised to be with us. It doesn't tell us that we will not go through these situations. But the Word tells us that when we go through these situations, God promises to be with us. I think if you look at the story of Jesus when He fell asleep in the boat. Remember that story? The storm arose. The boat was tossed and turned, and the disciples were scared. You know what Jesus does? He just gets up. He was asleep, and He just says, "Peace, be still." I think Jesus often speaks into our situation, into our challenges, and He brings that peace. He brings that joy. He tells those challenges, right, you have no room in this life anymore. I'm going to put a stop to these things. And He brings the peace that we require and the help that we require. And so I want us to watch this last scene of just that, what I've explained right now. And as you watch this, just, look at your journey with Jesus and say, thank you, Lord, that even in the deepest, darkest moments of my life, that you have promised always to be with me. Let's watch this.
Isn't that demented? That a grown man's happiness depends on whether a 9-year-old catches a pop-up? I mean, what if he missed?
But he didn't.
But he could have.
But he didn't.
But he could have.
But he didn't, Gil. You threw him 12 million pop-ups in the backyard. You cut the odds considerably. If he hadn't, ow, ow.
But there's 3 of them, and you want to have 4. And the 4th one could be Larry. And they're going to do a lot of things. I mean, baseball's the least of it. And in all those things, sometimes they're going to miss.
Sometimes they won't.
Sometimes they will.
Sometimes they will.
Sometimes they will.
What do you want me to give you? Guarantees? These are kids, not appliances. Life is messy.
I hate messy. It's so messy.
You know, when I was 19, Grandpa took me on a roller coaster.
Oh?
Up, down, up, down. Oh, what a ride.
What a great story.
I always wanted to go again. You know, it was just interesting to me that a ride could make me so frightened, so scared, so sick, so excited and so thrilled all together. Some didn't like it. They went on the merry-go-round. That just goes around. Nothing. I like the roller coaster. You get more out of it.
How many like roller coasters? How many like to be on that journey of a roller coaster rather than a merry-go-round? Oh, there's a good point made there. There's excitement, there's fear on a roller coaster, you know. So many things, feelings going on. You know, you scream and then you just get so scared. And at the same time, you get all excited. There's adrenaline pumping in you. And that's a roller coaster ride that God has called us into. There's excitement. There are times when we go through dips. There are times when we go through certain fears in our lives. But God has said, I'm with you through all of that. I'm willing to go through it with you. I want to bring the excitement in you. And I want to tell you this morning to dads, God wants to bring that excitement in you. If you lived a life that's kind of, you know, boring or semi-boring, don't give up on that. Don't give up on God. Say, God, I know you got something exciting for me. I'm willing to go on a roller coaster ride with you because I want the highs, I want the lows, I want everything in between. I want to feel everything and experience life in all its fullness. I want to speak to two types of people today, two types of dads. The first one is this. Dads who feel inadequate. You can have the keyboard as well. Dads who feel inadequate, if they feel that you feel that you did not or could not give your kids the best start in life, God can heal you today. God can change your position today. God can change whatever that you have felt that has happened in the past. God can bring a new start to your life today. Here's a second group. That's the first group. Inadequacy. Here's a second group. For those dads who went through physical, verbal, emotional abuse as a child growing up, feeling like you were in a prison, always spoken down to, always found fault with, always an accident waiting to happen. Here's the good news. Jesus can heal you right now. You don't have to take your past into your future. You can deal with it right now and go into a future of a roller coaster with Jesus. That the past does not dictate to what you become, but God dictates to who you are already in Him. I just want you to be encouraged this morning, because I know that Jesus can and will heal you. Don't frame your life on what has happened. Frame your life on what God has for you. Because God's plans are amazing plans. And we will never know the full picture. It's like if you watch an artist paint on a canvas. The artist can see the picture already, correct? He knows exactly what he wants on that canvas. You and I watching it, we don't see it. We see the first strokes of paint that come on it. And then we got to wait and wait and wait. And an artist can take how many months sometimes before they finish a painting. I believe God is the same. He's painting a beautiful picture in our lives, but sometimes it takes time for the fulfillment of that picture. But the artist never gives up on painting what he has already seen. God has already seen you. He knows you. He sees you in 10 years' time. He's seen you in 20 years' time. He's seen you at the end of your life here on earth. He knows, and He's painting a beautiful picture of your life on His canvas. And my invitation to you is to allow God, the Holy Spirit, to paint that beautiful picture. Give Him permission to paint that picture in your life, because He knows what the picture is already about. He can see it, though you and I can't see it. And I can assure you that there'll be times when we want to give up, when we get frustrated, when we think, God, where are you in all of this? Why am I feeling the way I am feeling? I want to encourage you today and say, stay on the path. Stay on the game. Stay in the game. Stay in what God has for you, because He has an amazing plan for you. Let's stand this morning. Let's stand this morning. And if you are that person today, whether it's a dad or a mom, let's open it up. You can say, Jesus. If you're in a place where you have disliked your parents because of what they did, because they didn't treat you right, they didn't provide for you as they should have, today I can ask you, through Jesus, that you forgive them. And tell your Father, your Heavenly Father, Father, I know it's painful, but I choose to forgive my dad. I choose even to forgive my mom for whatever the pain that she's caused in my life. I choose to forgive. Just take a moment right now. You can do that yourself, because Jesus knows you. Say, Jesus. And once you've forgiven your dad or you've forgiven your mom, now you can say, Jesus, forgive me. I'm sorry for holding a grudge, for holding something against them. Jesus, forgive me. Cleanse my life. Wash me. Make me new. I thank you, Jesus, that you're painting a beautiful picture. And I want to see the final picture, the picture when it's finished. I want to see it. And I want to follow you on this roller coaster journey. Because it's exciting going with you. I just pray that some of you may have made that your prayer. And if you have made that your prayer, you can come and talk to me. If you're a dad, come and talk to me. If you're a mom, talk to Jenny. And we can pray with you. And we can confirm what God has said in His word to you. Is that okay? Are you blessed this morning? Did you get something this morning? Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that even through these movies, Lord, we can get something of the Father heart of God. Lord, we will never understand fully how much you love us, because it goes beyond our human mind, our capability to understand. But the one thing we know is that you have said, Lo, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth, that you will never leave us. You will never abandon us. That we are always your children, called by your name. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So we have something for the dads right now. Dads, are you ready? I'm going to hand over to Jenny.
We got a little gift for the dads, for the natural dads. And we also have gifts for those who are not dads. And you may ask me why. And that is because we want you to be have the Father heart of God to other people, because the world needs dads. So even if you're not a dad, and you might say, you know, I'm young, I'm not a dad. Well, yes, you need to get the order right. However, there's potential for you. Even if you don't want to be a dad in the physical, you can be a spiritual dad. So we are prophesying that into you. Is that okay?
Thank you, Jesus. While Jenny's going around and handing out these little gifts, these little mementos to the dads, spiritual dads, and there are many kids today who are looking for dads. and we can be those dads to those kids. Oh, I get one too. That's good. Thank you. Praise God. We're going to go out with a song of praise unto our God. We have some refreshments today, you know, some special ones as well. So don't go away. Come enjoy our hospitality. And I always say this, that, you know, let's invite someone. Can we do that? Let's really determine in our hearts. Let's ask the Lord, Lord, I want to bring somebody to your house. I want to bring somebody who will come and hear your word, because the whole purpose is that people will come and hear the gospel of Jesus. It's the most incredible message that we have, and we don't want people to miss out on that. So here's my encouragement. Go out of your way. Find someone and say, look, would you like to come with me to church? Even go grab them, get a hold of them, bring them on a Sunday. And if you see someone who's not here, call them up and say, look, we missed you. You know, are you okay? Are you well? And just pray with them. So can we do that? Can we invite someone? You know, I just believe if you all invite one person, we can fill these chairs. We'll be putting more. We have to move all those things, you know, or bring these chairs forward. But let's do that. It's good to fill a place and be oversubscribed than undersubscribed. Isn't that good? Is that okay? So let's go with a shout of praise, a song of praise unto our God, and let's meet at the back for some hospitality together. God bless you. Enjoy Father's Day, and much, much blessings to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
When it's all standing in the presence of Jesus, because the Lord is good and His mercy endure forever. He is the good, good Father, and we can praise His name. Lord, you're good and your mercy endure forever. Lord, you are good and
your mercy endure forever.
Oh, oh, oh,
Lord, you are good and your mercy endure forever.
People,
people from every nation.